I have a quick story. The name is Marcella. I'm from California. And when I was around 9 or 10, my stepfather had brought me over to a friend's house. He was going to pick something up. Seemed a little shady, but I didn't know enough at the time. But he brought me to this house that was very hippie. And what I mean is the beads, you know, coming off of the doorway into the hallway, pillows on the floor, just very hippie-ish. I think there was incense, just a weird feel. And I remember the lady there had long hair, and she came over to me right away and said, "Oh, do you like dolls?" And I didn't like dolls. I was a tomboy at the time, but I was being nice. And I said, "Oh, sure." And she said, "Do you want to see some?" And it just hit me as weird. And next thing you know, and it's nighttime, by the way, it's kind of cold outside, which is rare for California. I don't remember when it was, but she drug out this big chest. And I was sitting there thinking, oh my gosh, what did I get myself into? And she opens the chest and the lights start flickering. And I don't think anything of it because I don't know any better. And she starts smiling. And I can tell that this is something that she probably does and gets a kick. So she opens this chest and the lights are flickering. I have no idea what's going on. And it starts to rain outside, which just adds to this. And I remember my stepdad had disappeared into the hallway with her partner, some guy. I don't even know who it was. And it's just her and I, and the lights are flickering, and she opens this big, dusty chest, and there's these old dolls, which to this day I still don't like, period. And the lights are flickering, they go off, she's taking them out, their eyes are opening, the lights go up back on, they flicker, it starts raining. I thought I heard thunder. And finally, I told her, "Can you please put those away?" And she goes, "Do you want to take one home?" And I guess I yelled no super loud, and the lights came on, and my stepdad came down the hall. And I've never been a fan of dolls ever since, period. I can't explain it. It was freaky, and don't know what to say. Love your podcast. Thank you.
So what is that? What is going on with those spirits causing the lights to flicker and all of the mysterious happenings? What is the goal from the side of the spirits to the living? Are they trying to scare the little girl? Do they have any intent whatsoever with the little girl, or are they just being disturbed by the creepy woman with the creepy dolls? Is it just stirring the pot and this is the results that you get? Is there always an intent for communication? That's something I think we need to look at when we're talking about ghost stories. I think a lot of times we somewhat selfishly assume that though they want to communicate with us, they want to tell us something when maybe they're just there. Maybe they don't always want to communicate. Maybe they just want to be left alone. And sometimes we're there as humans with a proverbial stick poking the cage. Maybe that's what was going on with that woman and the dolls. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, EPP bonus episode number 277, we hear many stories of many hauntings, and I'm kind of left wondering after each one of them, what was the communication intent here? What was the goal? Sometimes it's very clear, like a Ouija board that opens a line of communication between a deceased little girl and the owner of a house. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes you have to connect some pieces of a puzzle, as a man has some very bizarre experiences, wondering if they're possibly demonic or maybe just a warning sign to stay away from a rather dark path that he might have been going down. Sometimes it's a office with maybe an old coworker or someone who used to work in the building that still lingers and likes to play practical jokes. Or maybe it's college roommates in a house that was once home to several families, some who may have returned in spirit form to a house that, well, it's being run by college kids. And you know, if you have pride in your home, you may not have so much confidence or be a little bit disappointed as to how the house is being kept up when that is the state of affairs in your once grand old home. It's just some of the stories that we're going to talk about on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. So hang in there. We got some good ones on the way. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us. Communicating with the dead. It's something that people have been trying to do pretty much forever. It's always been this thing. And quite often, the practice of doing so has not always yielded the expected results. Sometimes, yes, sometimes you do seem to get something or someone that does not mean harm, just wants to get some messages across. Sometimes you get somebody else that wants to get far more than just messages across. Every once in a while, we hear about the first. However, I have to say, in all the years of doing this show, we get more stories more frequently of things that are not what they seem to be. This one, so far in the story, appears to be what it seems to be, at least what we know thus far. Man gets Ouija board. Man plays with Ouija board, starts communicating with a young girl who perished on the property where he sits. And, well, we'll let his story pick up from there. Take a listen. A couple of years ago, I ran across an old Ouija board dated 1919. Remember how fascinated I was with the experience when I was about 10 with one, so I thought that this board game would be a fun thing to fool around with again. My son, when he was very young, told me about looking out his bedroom window and seeing three glowing figures coming from the field towards his window one night. He also stated that they even entered his room and stood at the foot of his bed. He covered his head, thinking that they would go away. When he uncovered his head, they were still there. Then they vanished. I attributed this to a bad dream at the time. There is this old, beautiful house on my property, built in 1926. The builder also signed and dated his name in the rafters in the attic. Cool, I thought. He took so much pride in his work as an artist to do such a thing. Anyway, we were in this old house working the Ouija thing and so forth, and my son asked me to see if what he saw was real or not. We got an answer and a lot more. The two people who were at the board knew nothing about this. In fact, they did not know the name of the road we live on or anything else much about this neck of the woods. I asked if there were any ghosts who wanted to speak. Not at all, taking any of this seriously. And yes, replied the board. Who are you? I asked. The name came out. As our guest worked the Ouija board, why are you here? I asked, and the planchette began to move quickly. I died here. On this very road. It listed the name of the road. Our guest didn't even know the name of the road. How? I inquired. A truck, board answered. How? I asked. Hit me, it replied. When? Give a date in the 1930s. At this point, I was having fun with the game. I didn't take this all that seriously. This thing's just a game, so if it's all true, where's your body so I can bring you some flowers? I jokingly asked. The answer sent chills down my spine. You are there, she answered. What do you mean? Scattered. Misspelled. By an 8-year-old, she said. My ashes are scattered where your house is. We put a trailer on the property as we worked at renovating this home. I assumed she meant that is where the ashes were scattered. She gave us a lot of information that night. She is with two uncles who are elusive but protecting her. She was visiting them here when her death occurred. Things have happened after that as well. When I first put the trailer house where it is, now abandoned, I'm living in the old house now, my ex-wife and I heard the distinctive voice of a child crying I can say without a doubt. My ex also told me that she saw a small girl one night fleeing out the door one late night and blew her off. And so I did one night when I woke up to use the bathroom, you know, through the corner of your eye. I attribute this to a late night half asleep stuff. We did the Ouija again with two other people again, and the same conversation with this woman occurred. I cannot find any records of her existence anywhere, though. Then again, out here, especially back in the 30s, records were not kept so critical. I know a guy that has two people buried in his front yard from back then. That's in the days when they did things like that, without record. I did ask her who her uncles were, and she remained elusive on that info. I know it all sounds weird. I did not believe this sort of thing until about a year ago when it happened. I went for a walk, and as I have quite often, I walked across the field on a winter moonlit night. On my way back, I distinctly saw two people sneaking around the trailer. Thinking that someone was trying to break in, I approached one of them. I yelled out to them, "What do they want?" ready to confront the intruders in my property. I swear I was in 15 feet of the guy wearing a plaid shirt and bib overalls when he took an abrupt right turn and went right through the wall of the old trailer house right below my son's old bedroom. I could see each detail of his face, the texture of his clothes. He looked like a real person that would appear under a full-lit moon. I stopped dead in my tracks, but somehow I was not frightened out of my wits, as one would suspect. Rather, a comforting feeling came over me. By the way, when I first called out to them, the other ran into the woods, making me think these must be people. All of this I merely attributed to suggestive thinking, thinking I saw things that I imagined and so forth. Perhaps it was a restless walk late at night and so forth. About a month ago, I was visiting my sister and her family at their house miles away. Her daughter also had an old message board that her father found years ago in the attic of an old school that he once worked at. The planchette was missing, so for fun, I went to work in his wood shop and made a nice wooden one for them. With her and her boyfriend at the board, I asked, "Are you there?" Calling out to the girl who had communicated to me in the past. And that's where we're going to pause it. If you want to find out the rest of the story, then become an extra podcast person, an EPP, as we call them, you sign up at ghostpodcast.com or go to patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month will get you access to not only the rest of this episode and all the stories on this episode, but access to all 277 bonus episodes ready and waiting for you to binge upon. Plus, you get yourself advanced access to all of our episodes weeks before they're released to the public, and they're all commercial free too. So another perk there for you, a way of us saying thank you for supporting our program and keeping us on the air with your $5 a month donation to the show. Patreon.com/realghoststories is where you can sign up, or our website, ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.